Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Pei. We will begin on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara had asked a question that the Mishnah had taught us that Ritzeich Shnesar B'Acherim Kulam Peturim. And the Gemara asked, what does that mean? So the Gemara had offered two Turutzim. One time the Gemara offered that there was a Ritzeach that Shloi Befanav, that we were not able to identify who was the Ritzeach. And the Gemara says that we cannot sentence a person only when he's standing there and we know that he's the person on trial. And he got mixed up with other people, mingled with other people. Tanakhama says that they're all potter. And Yehuda says that they put all of them into the keeper where they will pass away. Rish Lakish disagreed. Shlaka says that everybody would agree under such circumstances, they all go free. Rather, Rish Lakish explained that the case was speaking about the animal itself. And the question here is, what is the halacha about how do we treat the animal? Says the Gemara Amar Rava, which Rava comments, Ihachi, if we're speaking about the animals or about the Ritzeach that got mingled up with other people, Hane Diktanilah, the Braisa, which expands on what we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, that what Rabbi Yossi said that they're all that the, according to the Tanakam, they're all potter, says Rabbi Yossi, afilu Abba Chalifta b'neim, that even if Abba Chalifta was one of the individuals who was mingled here, the same halacha would apply. So number one, this proves that we're speaking about people and not animals, like Rish Lakish explained. Furthermore, that Shmuel said that we're speaking about a person who we weren't able to sentence in front of him. So what is Rabbi Yossi trying to tell us that Abba Chalifta is one of them? What bearing does that have? And therefore, Elam Rava, because of these questions, Rava says you have to have a different interpretation of the Mishnah. Hakakama, just the way to understand the Mishnah. Shayim Shayim Amdim. You have two people who are standing. V'yotza chetz b'neihem v'horay. And an arrow left between these two individuals v'horay. And it killed somebody. We don't know who is the one, but we don't know who is the one that threw the arrow. So says the Gemara, afilu Abba Chalifta b'neihem. Even though the two people who are standing here, one is Abba Chalifta, and certainly Abba Chalifta was a great tzaddik, and therefore there's no question that Abba Chalifta is not the one that's the murderer. That doesn't make a difference. We can't make the other person guilty just because we're sure that it wasn't Abba Chalifta. And it continues, the shor shenigma dinai, if there's a shor that was sentenced to death, shenis arab shvar mecheri ma'alya, that got mixed up with other animals that did not kill anybody, and we don't know what to do. So it tells us the Mishnah Soiklin Oison, we kill all of them. Because since they're Chayiv Misa, but we can't be sure who it is, then the halacha is that they all are put to death. Why don't we say that it becomes bottle? So the answer is that, as we said in the previous year, that this is a case where a living thing never becomes bottle, and we can't say that since most of the shayrim did not kill, this shayr that killed should be spared. Yudaimer, Rabbi Yehuda says that we don't have to go through the bother of doing skila, but rather, Rabbi Yehuda says, all we need to do is konsonais l'kippah. We put them all into the keeper, and that's the way that the animal that's innocent, the animal that's guilty will die, and the rest will also die. So what we're learning here, according to this Gemara, is that even though, says the Aruch Lemer, that in Halacha there's a concept that we rely on a Chazaka, so here, certainly, Abba Chalifta has a Chazaka that he's a Tzaddik, and therefore, if we're going to follow that chazaka, the halacha ought to be that we should we should know it's the other person. We ain't soiklin al chazakus. The halacha is we can't just kill somebody based on a chazaka, but rather what we have to do is spear all of them. And Rabbi Yehuda, in the case where all the animals got mixed in and one of the animals is a murderer, Rabbi Yehuda says that we put them all into the kippah and we don't have to kill them. Ask the Avi Ezri that if there's a mitzvah to kill the animal that did something like this, so how can we not kill the animal? Aren't we avoiding a mitzvah? So Shach and the Sefer Avi Ezri says that even though to a certain degree we do follow Roiv, and to a certain degree, as we said, we don't follow Roiv, but when it comes, says Rav Shach Satzal, to do a mitzvah, there's no chiv to do a mitzvah when Roiv tells us that there is no mitzvah. And since, as we just finished explaining, most of the animals that we are discussing here are animals that are not chayiv misa, so there's no mitzvah. So based on Roiv, there's no mitzvah to kill the animal. Says the Gemara, Batanya, says the Gemara, will bring a brisa that supports that this is the way to learn. Batanya parash misa, if a cow killed somebody, vakach yoda, and then this cow has a baby. And the halacha is that the cow that killed certainly must be killed. What about the child? Im achlay nigmadina yoldo, if until it was paskind that this animal is chayim misa, was this animal sentenced to death? So if achlay nigmadina yoldo, if the baby was born before it was sentenced to death, so then Vladimir Mutter. We don't connect the baby to its mother. However, if the baby was only born after the sentence was ishtu, the halacha is Vladimir Osir. We may not have any benefit from the child, just like we can't have any benefit from its mother. This Arba Cherim, if this child that we just said in a situation where we can't have any benefit from this child got mingled up with other animals, and that happened twice. Koitzanai say, Lakipa, we take all the animals and we put it into the cell. The blood of Shimonimer, Vivinai say, Lebezdin, we bring it to Bezdin and we do Skila in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Skila. So we see that the machloitis that we have in this brisa between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Lezer is the same machloitis that we have between the Chachamim and Rebbe Yehuda. And our Mishnah, Amar, not a Gemara goes into analyzing this brisa. Im actually nigma dina yolda, if before the animal that killed was before it was sentenced, it had the baby. Says the Gemara v'lod muta, the child will be muta b'hano. The child does not have to be eliminated. Because the brisa seems to say that this is the halacha regarding the baby under all circumstances, whether the mother was pregnant with the baby when this act happened or whether or not. Says the Gemara, is that true? Is that true that even while the baby, when the mother was pregnant, it did this damage? From a rabbi. Ask Rava, don't we learn? Didn't Rava teach us Vlad and the Gachas, the child of an animal that killed, the halacha is Osir, you can't bring that child for Karmen HaMizbeach. That means even if it's a situation where we can't kill, but we can't let this child be put on the Karmen from HaMizbeach. He Vlad Yanochu, because the child participated in this act. Vlad had Nabas. Similarly, if there was an animal that somebody had relations with, that the animal cannot be used on the Mizbeach, so too the child may not be used on the Mizbeach. He Vlad of a Nibra, because they were both part of this. And the simplest way of learning the Gemara is the Gemara saying that Ilbe Yerach Imai, that the child is considered part of the mother. So the question is, Why over here that is the halacha that if the mother is sentenced, the child is born, the child is off the hook? Ema says the Gemara, imach lo nigmadina ibra. What it means to say is yalda v'lada mutar. What the mother only became pregnant after the act of damage or killing. At that point, since the child wasn't part of the mother at that time in any way, that's why the child is mutar. The mishnig medina, but if after the mother was sentenced, ibra v'yalda, v'lada asur, because the mother would participate, the mother who was asbana, because the mother was at that time sentenced to death, participated is part of the creation of this child, and something that comes from something that's asur is also asur. Ask the Gemara, there's a question throughout Shas, what is the halacha regarding zevezeh goyrim? Hanich l'mandam zevezeh goyrim asur, if there's two contributing factors, one is asur, one is mutter, though we say zevezeh goyrim is asur, so even though the mother is asur, but the father is not, so that's why over here, will say that the child will be free. That's why the child is usur if she was born, if the baby was born after the mother was sentenced to death. But ask the Gemara, Elamand Amazev is a goyrim mutter, according to the opinion that says, Zev is a goyrim is mutter, Michael Amemer, why should we look at the mother? Yes, the mother is a nachan. And because the mother is a nachan, that's why the mother's chayiv misa. But the baby that we are discussing wasn't just created from the mother. The baby that we're speaking about was also created from its father. So why shouldn't we take that into consideration? Says the Gemara, Elam Ravina, Ema, the way to understand the Braisa. Imach lo nigmadina ibra v'gam yolda. If before it was sentenced to death, it got pregnant and had the baby all before it was sentenced to death, under those circumstances, the Vlada Mutter. There's no question. The child did not participate in the act of damage or killing, and the child wasn't there when its mother was sentenced to death. Vim Achla Nigmadina Ibra. If it got pregnant before the psak, Umashinigmadina Yalda, but after it was sentenced, it only then had the baby, the Vlada is Asur, the child is Asur. Because the Gemara teaches us there's a concept of Uba Yerech Imay. The child is considered part of the mother. And since that the child is considered part of the mother, whatever is the halacha regarding the mother, and here the mother was sentenced to death, will be applicable, that halacha will be applicable to the child, applicable to the child as well. Says, ask the Magal Shayom, if we say Uba Yerech Uma, says the halacha teaches us that if a pregnant woman is sentenced to death, she's executed without waiting for her to give birth. However, if a child is born prior to execution, he is permitted to live, and is not executed together with his mother. Why don't we say the formula that we're learning here? That kamisus abal and kamisus ashar, just as the human baby who's born prior to his mother's execution is not sentenced, so too, if the baby in Al Gemara was born before the mother was killed, it should save the baby. Answers the Magal Sayyam that the same logic that Rava applies in the case of an animal, saying that the baby is viewed as it committed the crime, Uba Yerech Mima, and if the mother was pregnant with the baby, it committed the crime together with its mother. The same thing applies to a human child as well. The child is deemed as though it committed the crime together with the mother. But still, when we speak about a child, the child is exempt from punishment because the child is a cotton, and we never punish a cotton. However, by an animal, there is no exemption of a cotton. And therefore, says Rava, if the mother was pregnant when this happened, and we say Uba Yerech Imoy, so what that means to teach us is that the child participated in this act, and since it's an animal, there are no exemptions because it's a child. So our Gemara just taught us the halakha of Uba Yerech Imoy. So there's a interesting question. The halakha is that if we say Uba Yerech Imoy, the fetus is part of the mother. So the question asks many Gedolim, so how can one have relations with his wife when his wife is pregnant? Wouldn't it be considered like he's having relations with his daughter? Because we say and this is a question that Rekiva Eger asks. Rekiva Eger answers, then why may one not have relations with his child when she's less than 3 years old? Here the child is even less. The child hasn't even been born. So we've learned many times in our shiurim that an act of bia with somebody that's less than 3 years old is not halachically considered an act of bia. But what's the isser? The isser is that you're having bia that's mashke zaroi. You're allowing semen for no good reason. Here you don't have a problem mashke zaroi, and therefore it's not a problem. But the Tiferes Yisroel says a different pshat. He says that, what does Uba Yerech Imoy mean? He says that the definition of Uba Yerech means to say that it's like a hand of the mother. It's not that it has a status of a child. There's nobody that has a status of a child before the child is actually born. Rather, the way the halacha looks at this situation is like it's a limb of the mother. There's an isser, absolutely, to have relations with a dwarf, but there's no issue to have relations with a limb. And until the child is born, it's no more than a limb, and that's why there's no issue of Uber. There's a very interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim. What is the halacha for those that do kaparis before Yom Kippur, and a man takes a rooster, a woman takes a hen? What is the halacha regarding a pregnant woman? Do we take three chickens, one for the mother, and one, and then a hen and a rooster, because we're not sure if the mother's carrying a boy and a girl? Or do we just take two, a hen, which will cover the mother and the baby, and a second one in case the baby is a boy? So the Rizal actually says that one should take three chickens the way we just described. And the reason is because we don't know what the Uber is, and the Uber is considered an independent entity. However, the Magen Avraham says we take two chickens. And there's two ways of understanding why. One is because, the Mishnah Berurah explains, the Lalocha, two people could share a chicken. So a man and a woman cannot share a chicken because a man and a woman are not, they need different types of chicken. But the mother and its daughter, if that's what the mother is carrying, can't share a chicken because they're both women, they're both females. That's one way of explaining. The other way of explaining that is what we're saying now. If we say that Uber Yerech Imoy, then the Uber itself is not really an independent entity. The way we just finished explaining from the Tiferes Yisroel is it's just a limb of the mother. And it's relevant to a different question. The question is, if we're being mispalal for a woman that's pregnant, that she should be well and everything should go well, do we daven independently for the fetus or not? And the Sefer Torah Seyeledis wants to suggest that if we say Uba Yerech Imoy, then there's no reason to daven for the child independently, because when we daven for its mother, Uba Yerech Imoy says that what we daven for the mother works for the child as well. We learned in the Mishnah, Kol Chai V'Misis, that when we have different people who are Chai V'Misa, that got commingled, we give them the most lenient Misa. Says the Gemara, Shema Mina, we see from here, we've been learning in our Shurim that you have to give Hasra before somebody does an Avera. So here it seems to be that we're learning that Musral Dava Chomer, Musral Dava Kal, because if we gave somebody Hasra, and we gave somebody Hasra for Skila, let's say Skila is the most severe Misa, and then he got commingled with somebody
who's chenek. And let's say chenek, and everybody would agree that chenek is a less severe misa. So yes, chenek is less severe, but this person did not get hasra for chenek. What the fact that that isn't a problem in our Mishnah seems to be the Mishnah's teaching us the musla davar chomer, that somebody who has got hasra for the more serious misa, that includes the hasra for the less serious. So Tosfos asks, why does the Gemara have to use this svara? Why couldn't the Gemara have used the svara that we learned many times, that if you can't give a person the misa that you're supposed to give him, at the misa b'chol misa shatayochel, you can give him any misa. So we should use that svara here as well. So Tosfos says that halacha is not said regarding all situations. Tosfos says that it only applies to a ritzeach, that we can't give the ritzeach the misa he's supposed to be given, we give him any other misa. But here we're applying it to all situations. Another explanation is that halacha, that we can't give the misa that we're supposed to, we give any misa, is only where the person who was supposed to get the misa ran away, and we need to do what we have to do. Here, nobody ran away. The Rabbi Chanan asks a question. Why would it be that if you gave him even if we say musl dava chama, have a musl dava kal, but the Torah prescribed a specific misa? If the Torah prescribed a specific misa, isn't that what we have to do? Says Rabbi Chanan, that the way we have to understand misa is not that the Torah specified a certain misa. The Torah specified that this person who did this avera must be eliminated. The Torah gave us the way to eliminate him, but the Torah is saying that another misa, if it's musul davachom or musul davakal, will also accomplish what needs to be accomplished. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, to which Rabbi Yirmiyah explains the way to understand the Mishnah is Hakamai Skin Kikon Shishu by Stam. He was given Asra without identifying which type of Misa, which Misa he's going to be receiving. Vaitanyahu, and this, our Mishnah follows the opinion of the Tanya B'Shar Chai Misa Shibetayra, the people who are Chayiv Misa, Ema Misa Nasal Be'eda, we have to have a Bezdin of 23, for Eidim, we have to have Eidim, we have to have Asra, Vat Shiyidiyua Chayiv Misa Bezdin, we have to notify him that he's Chayiv Misa Bezdin. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not just to say that it's Chayiv Misa, but we have to tell him exactly which Misa he's going to get. So explains the Gemara, what is the basis of the Machlokes? Tanakama Yalach Mekoshes. As we learned the other day, that when there was the Mekoshes who was Mechalel Shabbos, and then he was caught, Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what Misa to give him. Until Ben Shemayim, they told him that it's Chayiv Skila. So we see, obviously, that when he got the Asra, he got Asra without specifying which Misa. So it's obvious, says the Tanakhama, that telling him which type of Misa he's going to get is not a required part of the Asra. We can't learn from there, because Moshe Rabbeinu was given very specific, unique instructions there, and we can't learn from there to anywhere else. Another way of understanding what was Arash Shah, the fact that there was no Misa yet told to Moshe Rabbeinu, is a proof that in that case, Hasra does not have to include the specific Misa. But in a case where the Torah already taught us what Misa is supposed to be given, then you have to say what Misa. And all other cases is not going to be sufficient. So the Ran explains, when Al Gemara says that you don't have to say what Misa, it doesn't mean to say because of the Svara Musul Dava Chamab Musul Dava Kal. We don't have to subscribe to that concept. Rather, the way to understand the concept, says the Ran, is that the Torah teach that according to the Tanakhama, there is no need. Hasra is considered a valid Hasra without saying which Misa. And it's not connected to the concept of Musul Dava Chamab Musul Dava Kal. We learned in the Mishnah, Hanaskolim ben Asrafim, if the people who are chayv skila rachman tzlan were commingled with people who were chayv sreifa, so we don't know what to do. So says the Gemara, we give him the more lenient. And the Mishnah taught us there's a machloikis. What does that mean? Rav Shimon held, we give him a skila, because Rav Shimon's opinion is that skila is the less severe, and the Tanakhama, the Chama hold, we give him sreifa, because they hold that sreifa is less severe. Says the Gemara, Masnul Yecheskel Rami Berei. The Mishnah said, Hanisrafim ben Eskalim, that the way he taught him, the Mishnah was that Hanisrafim ben Eskalim, Rav Shimon Omer, under those circumstances, Yodayna B'Skilu, we should give him Skila, because Sreifa Chamura. The Sreifa is considered the more severe Misa. Amalei Rehuda Abba, so he said to him, Abba Loi Tisnehachi, don't learn the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah, the way you just said, Hanisrafim ben Eskalim, which would indicate that most of the people here are Chayv Skila, and the Miet, a chayv sreifa, because then why would Rav Shimon have to say that the reason we give them skila is sreifa chamura? The reason is typically the Reuben Skolim Ninu. Therefore, he suggested elahachi asni. The way to learn the Mishnah is haneskolim ben esrofim. So if we follow Rav says that most of these people are chayv sreifa, but comes along Rav Shimon and says you don't have a skila because sreifa is Chamura. And so in other words, if we were to follow Rav, they would be Chayiv Sreifa, but we don't follow Rav. So indeed, why don't we follow Rav? So what the Taisus asks, why don't we follow Rav? So Taisus gives a number of Turetzim. He says, Rav cannot change the fact. If we're going to give all of them Sreifa, and there's somebody who's not Chayiv Sreifa, that means we're certainly doing something wrong. And we can't use Rav to do something wrong. Another Teretz Taisus suggests is that we're speaking about a situation of Kavua. And as we learned in our previous year, that Kol Kavua Kamechza Mechza Dami. And therefore, it's not looked like a Rav, it's looked like a 50-50 situation. The way the Achroinim explain this Gemara, they explain the Gemara as follows. They say that what the Gemara means to say is that even though throughout halacha we have a situation, we follow Rav, but we need to understand what does that mean when the halacha tells us to follow Rav. That following Rav does not mean that the Rav makes it into what something it isn't. Rav can't say that somebody who's chayiv skila is chayiv sreifa. He's chayiv skila, he's not chayiv sreifa. What Rav tells us, Rav is an anhoga. Rav tells us, this is what you should do in this situation. But here, in other words, if the meat fell into the non-kosher meat, Rav tells us what to do. Here, it's a much different situation. Here, what Rav is trying to accomplish is Rav is trying to create a halacha. We can't rely on halacha that way, where we want Rav to create halacha. And that's why, says the Gemara, That's why Rav is not in consideration. So we're learning in our Gemara, since the Bezdin doesn't know what to do, the halach is we give the more lenient einish. The Torah says, as we've learned many times, when somebody is chayiv misa, says the Torah, yada edim tiyabai b'rishayna, that the edim are the ones who have to carry out the execution. However, the halacha follows Shmuel, that saying that the Edom, because we learned this on Memhei on the base, that the Edom doing what they doing this is not just a preferential act or optimal way of doing the mitzvah. It has to be done that way. So now we have a question. Here we don't know who's what. So how will we be able to fulfill Yad Edom Tiber Rishonim? Says the Tzur Yaakov that the Mishnah is referring that both of these individuals, all of these individuals who got mingled together, are all chayiv, were all convicted based on the same Edom. So therefore, since that they were all convicted by the same Edom, there's no question anymore, because they're all the same Edom, and we could do Yada Edom Tiyabir Rishona. We just don't know which mitzvah should we do. The Rishonim ask another question. Shmuel says that we can't do Yada Edom Tiyabir Rishona. The person goes free. But the question is, we're learning in our sugya, and we're going to be learning it more and more in our sugya, that there's a concept of the keeper. So the question is, why don't we just put these people into the keeper and they'll expire that way? So the Ramban says a very big chiddush. The Ramban says that the only time we put somebody in a keeper is by a murderer. By a murderer, we have the obligation, the Bezdin has the obligation to make sure that such a person is taken out of society. But in all other situations, the halacha is not that way, and Bezdin doesn't have that obligation the same way to make sure that the person is taken out of society. Ask the Gemara, Yochi Emes Sefer, if we're talking about a case where most of the people are Chayiv Sreifa, and the meat achayiv skila, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Chum Amri Durna B'Sreifa, the Chum say they will get Sreifa Skila Chamura. But ask the Gemara, typically, the reason they're going to get Sreifa, who says it's because Sreifa is less severe? Typically, the reason they're getting Sreifa is because the Reuben Strafenin who? Answers the Gemara, Hasam Rabban Hu, the Chum Amri Rab Shimon. The way to understand the Mishnah is the Rabbanan are addressing Rab Shimon. Lid Dakhtam Sreifa Chamura. You hold Sreifa is more Chamur, and we're saying, Loi, we're telling you that we believe Skila is more serious, more severe. Amalei Shmuel Rabbi, who the Shinana. Shinana means he was very sharp. The two explanations of Shinana. One explanation of Shinana is that he was very sharp, and one is that he had sharp teeth. So the Shas HaTshuvas Torah L'Shma says, how can we say that that's what Shmuel meant? Isn't that a derogatory way of speaking about Rabbi Yehuda? We're not allowed to speak about a person in a derogatory fashion. So says the Torah L'Shma, apparently in those days, it wasn't a derogatory to say a person has big teeth. And therefore, since it wasn't derogatory in those days, it's allowed to be, a person could say it. Nowadays, or any time where it would represent something derogatory, you indeed would not allowed to be called that person. He said to him, Loi temel avicha chachi. When you said that your father made a mistake, you shouldn't have said it the way you said it. Because the Braisa teaches us, the Tanya Reisha Yaviv, Oival Divrei Torah, if somebody's father was violating what it says in the Torah, Lo yoimeloi, a son should not say to the father, Abba avartal Divrei Torah, father, you violated what it says in the Torah. Eloimeloi, what he's supposed to say to him is, Abba kach kosu b'Torah, this is what it says in the Torah. Says the Gemara, Seif Seif Hanohach. Isn't it the same issue that he's correcting his father? Just say, this is what it says in the Chumash. And the father should figure out by himself that by the son saying, this is what it says in the Chumash, that he'll figure out what it's supposed to say. So the Paiskim make a very interesting observation. This halacha of when and how one is allowed to correct the father. So one point that I saw that the Paiskim make, this is all after the father already made the mistake. So you want to correct him, but it isn't as pressing as if the mistake wasn't made yet. So if somebody sees that the father's about to make a mistake, and you have the ability to stop him from making the mistake, then you have to do whatever you can to stop him from making the mistake. The Shas HaTshuvas B'Tzel HaChochma has a discussion in Chel Gimel, Simen Chof and Chof Aleph, what should one do if he sees a parent or Rebbe making a mistake? So he says, regarding a parent, if they see a parent violating a derabbanan, you shouldn't say avata derabbanan. If they see a parent not fulfilling a mitzvah properly, so what the son should do is do that mitzvah in the presence of his parents, and that will be the way the parents will know how to do the mitzvah properly. If one is speaking to a parent in a way that it's just a question. He doesn't say explicitly you're doing something wrong. That would be his. That would be acceptable. Just asking a question without any repercussions. And then he says the same halacha of a parent and of a mother and a father is the same. When it comes to Rebbe, there the halacha is that if he sees a Rebbe violating the Rabbanon, he should say, haven't you taught us differently? If, when he's speaking to him about the Rabbanon, he should say it again, only in a question, but not say it directly. Even if it's a case where he never learned this halacha from his Rebbe, but in order to show honor to his father, to his Rebbe, he should say, well, Rebbe, didn't you teach us that way? If it's something that isn't explicit that it's usur, so then he should not say that because he can't be sure that that's what the Rebbe holds. So there he should say it in a way that the Rebbe, like in a way that the Rebbe won't be offended. If his Rebbe forgot his learning, so then the halacha is that he has a right to remind his Rebbe, because he could say, I did it because I knew you forgot your learning. If the Rebbe is fulfilling a mitzvah not in the proper fashion, again, he suggests, like he said by parents, that what one should do is they should say it, they should do the mitzvah in the proper way in front of the Rebbe, and that will be the way how the Rebbe will know. The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, as we just said, says that he should ask. He shouldn't say you're doing something wrong. Didn't you teach it us this way? That, and says the Lech Mishnah, that one isn't, what about saying the pasuk that teaches us how to do the mitzvah? Says the Lech Mishnah, one is not allowed to do that. And says the Rish Lezion, that if child always has to do it, when a child is showing the parent that he maybe did something wrong, he always has to do it. He always has to do it in the most discreet manner. Rav Chaim Kamievsky quotes the Ragachava. We find that Yosef said to Yaakov Avinu, Loi Kein Avi, that when Yaakov Avinu wanted to put his hand, right hand, on Ephraim instead of Menashe, we find that Yosef says, Loi Kein Avi. So how could have Yosef done this when we're learning in the Gemara now how a child has to be most careful and when he corrects a parent? So says the Ragachava that when does that apply? When it's a matter of halacha or a matter of svara. But when we're speaking about a fact, where Yosef thought that Yaakov got confused, who is the older son, then the halacha is that you could say it directly because there's no halachic ramification. The Rachmistrivka Rebbe says that we're learning that we're allowed to say Abba Kach Kos B'Torah. And that's what we're allowed to do towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, he says. We're allowed to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abba Kach Kos B'Torah. It says in the Torah that Klal Yisrael has to go out of this terrible Golus. And we daven and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach Kos B'Torah, do what it says. And bring a Yeshua and a Gula ready to Klal Yisrael.